we are the 1, 2, 3 Sore Losers!
What up, everybody? I am Lunchbox. I know the most about sports. That's why I run this show, and I bring you the sports knowledge and opinions.
My name is Eddie. I know the least about sports, but I am very opinionated on my opinions, and I'm strongly believe on the things that I don't know anything about, and that's sports.
We try to start this show, the podcast, with a little game. Sometimes we forget, sometimes we don't. But today I got one, and you're going to be like, what in the world kind of question is this?
Is this the Would You Rather game?
Yeah, Would You Rather. Would you rather be an alcoholic?
What?
Or a drug addict?
This is the worst game ever. Can I pick none of the above?
No. No.
I have to pick one of these things?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know why I came up with this game today. I just thought about it, and I was like, man, I wonder which one you would rather be.
No. Break it down. You were what, driving in the car earlier?
I was driving in the car, and I was just thinking about these athletes that get suspended for drug use, and then some of them have addiction problems, and some are, and then you see alcoholics, and I was like, which one would you rather be? Just that's it. That's the only reason I came up with it. Oof. Nothing. I mean, there's no scientific reason why I came up with this game.
Okay. I mean, if I had to pick one, just because alcohol is legal, I guess I'd be an alcoholic. I mean, both of them are tough. They're both tough to stop and fix the issue. Coach, I don't know. Alcoholic, I guess. I don't know.
Bad game.
It's a terrible game. You?
Oh, alcoholic, easily. It's more socially acceptable.
But, I mean, are you counting marijuana as drugs?
No, I don't. I'm not a doctor, but I don't think you can be addicted to marijuana.
Yeah, that's what I hear, but.
Yeah, so I don't.
Huh.
That's just me.
You can get addicted to cocaine.
I guess you can get addicted to cocaine.
So would I rather be a cocaine addict or an alcoholic? The weirdest game ever.
I know. I understand. Know. We can move on. I really.
What?
I don't know. I was just thinking of something. I was like, man, which one? I just thought it was more socially acceptable to be an alcoholic, so that's why I would choose that option.
Yeah, I mean, I see that. Like if you had buddies who were alcoholics, you'd be like, oh, man, my buddy's an alcoholic. Whatever.
Yeah, you don't ever go, man, my buddy's a drug addict. You don't talk about that.
No, you don't.
You sweep that under the rug. You just be like, oh, you know, he's not doing too well.
Yeah. All right, Coach. Good
Very
game.
Very interesting.
Yeah, good
game over. All right.
Thank you.
Moving along. Let's not be awkward or anything. So Le'Veon Bell is still not reported, okay?
Yeah.
And I don't know, James Harrison, the former linebacker for the Steelers, came out and said, look, if I was Le'Veon Bell, I would wait until he has to report, which is like November 13th.
Yeah.
He said, then I would show up, and I'd make sure I take care of myself. So he goes, I'd give him everything I got in practice, and then Saturday, oh, man, something doesn't feel like right in my leg. I don't know. I can't play tomorrow.
Oh.
So he is saying Le'Veon Bell, should, when he comes back, fake an injury and just sit on the sideline, get credit for that season, become a free agent. Wow.
Do you think James Harrison is speaking for the rest of the Steelers?
No.
You don't think they all think this way?
No, they want him to play because they want to. They think he improves their team and gives them a better chance to win the Super Bowl. He is a former player, so he is just saying what he would do to protect his financial future. And so,
it's interesting a former player would think that way.
Right. So that makes me think, when I hear this, I'm like, so how often do these players fake injuries? Because they're so competitive, and a lot of them get out there on bum knees, ankles, arms, elbows, whatever. And then he is sitting here openly saying, fake an injury so you get just to sit on the sideline.
Yeah, like it's possible. Like we've done it for years, fake an injury. Like I'll be honest with you, every time I see turf toe as an injury, fake injury in my mind.
Yeah, I don't really understand turf toe.
I don't know what
that
is.
But they say it is so painful.
So what do they say? What is it?
I don't know. It's like a pain in your toe.
I figure it's like when you're walking to the kitchen and you accidentally stub your toe on like the chair.
That's it? Just a stub toe?
Yeah, that's what I think. And they're like, ah, turf toe, I'm out. I can't walk.
The one injury I used to say, oh, you big sissies, what are you doing? Get out there and play. Come on, you're grown men. Was back spasms.
Yeah, I mean, okay. So your back hurts.
Right. I was like,
get yourself a sleep number.
I kept saying, why can you not play with back spasms? Like, it can't hurt that bad.
So you're picturing the back spasm like
just like a
twitch?
Well, yeah, just like a little pain in your back or whatever. Like, oh, ow, that was uncomfortable. Or like a bruise.
Or like sometimes when your arm is moving, like, you know, the muscle in your arm is twitching.
Sometimes your eyelid does it when you don't get sleep.
Exactly.
That's what I imagined. And then a few years ago, I got neck spasms, and I have never been in more pain in my life.
What is it? Describe it.
It is, like, I could not even turn my head right or left, and I go to the doctor. Like, it started at work one morning, and so I was like, okay, I'm going to go to the doctor, and they said, oh, you have neck spasms. I'll give you some pain pills. So they give me some pain pills. I go home.
What kind of pain pills? Good stuff?
Well, supposedly good stuff.
Okay.
And I go home, and I sat on the couch watching TV, and I was in so much pain, even after taking the pain pills. I wanted to cry. It hurt so bad.
Like, you couldn't move your neck?
I couldn't move my neck. I couldn't get comfortable. I had to get, you know, kind of slouch on the couch. It was just a certain angle. I missed work for 2 days.
Dang.
I sat there, and I wanted to cry. At one point, I started pulling my hair, because it felt better to pull my hair than it took the pain away from the neck spasm.
Yeah, you're distracting your pain.
Yes, distracting it. So finally, later that night, I was like, these pain pills are not strong enough. I got to go to the emergency room. So I went to the hospital, ER, and said, look, I think I was misdiagnosed. I am in some terrible pain. And they gave me some strong.
Good stuff.
Strong, good stuff.
Caesura.
No, like hydrocodone.
Oh, yeah, that's what's in Caesura.
Oh, is it really?
I think so. That's what I hear.
Yeah. So anyway, I was like, this is incredible. And I will never judge an athlete again when they say they're out with back spasms or whatever. I totally get it. You are paralyzed. You can't move.
Okay.
So if you hear back spasms, that is a legit injury.
Take it seriously.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a question for you. When I was watching the World Cup and these soccer players would get hurt, you know, and then the trainer would come out and get this little spray paint can.
Oh, yeah, yeah, the spray.
And they would spray it. It's like white chalk or something all over their leg. They'd be squeezing their leg like, oh, man, my leg, I got a Charlie horse. They bust out the little spray can, they spray it, and everything's okay.
Right.
What is that spray?
I don't know.
And why don't we have it?
I think it's just maybe it numbs it. Like, freezes that little section, like, so kind of like icy hot.
Why can't I go to Walgreens and buy that spray? Like, do you understand how awesome that spray would be? Like, again, I'm walking to the kitchen, and I stub my toe on the kitchen counter, and then boom. Like, I just bust out my spray. I spray my turf toe, and we're all good.
Yeah, you can buy it.
You can? What's it called?
Tap Magic 12 Aerosol. I don't know. What is the World Cup Magic Spray? If you Google that.
Tap Magic 12.
Yeah.
That looks like just the super cure for everything.
Yeah.
Because these dudes look like they're dying, and they're like rolling around, grabbing their ankle, and then the dude comes out with a spray, and then they're up.
Skin refrigerants are easy to order online. A few bucks will get you a small can of dimethyl coolant cold spray.
Nailed it.
Yeah. Okay. But I don't think it's really anything. It's just those guys are going down to fake an injury to buy time. They're wasting time, and so they bring the trainer out. Oh, they spray that. Oh, what do you know? I'm better. It's not really usually that's not a real injury.
What?
Yeah.
Soccer players fake injuries like that all the time?
All the time.
Like, what percentage?
A lot. I don't know about they over-exaggerate everything. Well,
yeah, I see. I can
because
see that.
I had a dude on my high school soccer team, Carlos, and he would always roll around like they do in the World Cup. He gets touched, and he goes flying. And he's rolling back and forth, right? So we were playing our senior year, and he goes down. He starts rolling around, and people in the crowd are like, oh, and I turn around. I was like, he's fine. He's faking it. He was out 2 months with a hurt ankle.
Oh, see?
But
see, and you were judging Carlos.
No, Carlos was the boy who cried wolf.
Sure.
He kept doing it and doing it and doing it and doing it, so I assume he's faking it.
It's called flopping. It's part of the game, right?
Yeah, he's taking a dive. Yeah. No, it's not. I hate it.
What do you mean?
I hate it.
Did you hate when Manu Ginobili did it?
No, Manu Ginobili didn't do that.
Yes, he did. Manu Ginobili did it all the time.
Yes, I hate it when the NBA does it. I hate flopping in the NBA. It is so annoying. I hate flopping.
Wait, just in the NBA? What about in soccer?
Oh, soccer too. I hate it. It's okay. So annoying to watch because someone doesn't even touch him and they go down. And they roll around because they're trying to draw a yellow card or a red card for the other team. And it's part of the strategy. I get it, but it makes it hard to watch sometimes.
Well, buddy, I hate to tell you, flopping's made its way into the NFL too.
Oh, it does do that.
I mean,
we're starting
to see a lot more of that.
Well, I don't know about a lot more.
I think so. I mean, we'll see like hits or whatever, and they're the ones where you can see like, okay, wow, like that's bad. The stretcher comes out, but there's some that I've seen where it's like, not, come on, you're killing time, obviously.
Well, no.
Trying to save that timeout.
No.
Oh.
No, I think they get cramps in their leg or, you know, something. They limp off the field because they have to go out for a play in the NFL. So it's a little bit different.
Yeah, they go out for that play and then they come back and they're like 100% again.
Well, just you get
buying it.
You get a stinger sometimes. You get hit and you're like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, you got to rub it out or you get the wind knocked out
and
of you.
And they're on all fours like, oh, God, I can't breathe.
Have you ever got the wind knocked out of you?
Yeah, I have.
And that's what I'm saying. I think that has to happen a lot in football. I never played football, but,
I don't know, maybe.
Yeah, and the only flopping you see is kind of when they have those scrums, and they're kind of there, and some guy barely pushes one guy, and he jumps backwards in football and falls down, and he tries to draw a
50. What do you mean by scrums?
Like, there's a little fight, little scuffles after the play.
Oh, yeah, I got you, I got you.
You never heard of a scrum?
Yeah. Well, no, I never heard that
word. A scrap, I guess you would call it. But a little fight. Yeah, a little fight.
You're right, though. That's to draw the foul.
Yes. They want to draw that 15-yard penalty. Yeah.
Well, quarterbacks do it all the time, too, when they feel like they get touched after a pass, and they, like, fall over and, like, oh, he hurt me. And then he looks at the ref like, dude, where's the flag?
Oh, he yells at him. Like, yeah. Phillip Rivers is really good at yelling at the ref,
that's,
too.
That's all he does.
No, he's good.
But he yells a lot.
He does yell a lot.
My problem with Phillip Rivers, though, is that it's never his fault, though. Do you ever see that? Like, even when he throws a bad pass, it's never his fault.
Well, it's never any quarterback's fault.
What do you mean?
They always blame the receiver for running the wrong route or...
They do, but I see Phillip Rivers doing it a lot. And he's the quarterback for the Chargers.
Right.
But I don't know. I feel like he's always mad or maybe he voices his opinion to the receiver more than anyone else.
Yeah, he just does it out in public. He lets them know. He doesn't hide it. I think, but I honestly think a lot of the times it's mostly the receiver's fault. They run the wrong route. And that's why quarterbacks get mad.
I don't think you and I can sit here and say that.
I do.
We don't know.
Why don't we know?
Look, Ray just showed up.
Oh, what do you know? That's all right. But anyway, I don't know. Yes, Phillip Rivers does yell at his receivers, but that's fine. Because they got to be held accountable.
Okay.
Do you have a problem with him yelling at the receivers?
No, I just feel like he never thinks it's his fault. Like every time. I mean, if I see other quarterbacks, the play doesn't work out the way they want it to. I don't know whose fault it is. I don't know what play they were running. And sometimes the throw's bad or it looks like there was a miscommunication.
Or they didn't see a defender standing right there and they throw it right to him.
Sure. And quarterbacks, a lot of quarterbacks don't even address it. They're just like, come on, moving on. Let's go. Go. Next play. Phillip Rivers always looks at him and be like, dude, what? Where were you? Hands up in the air. What was that?
Yeah, and he shows what route he should have been running.
So
that
dumb.
Tells me the receiver ran the wrong route.
Yeah, or it's never Phillip Rivers' fault.
Okay, yeah. Speaking of quarterbacks, Kelly Bryant, the starting quarterback for Clemson.
Yeah.
No longer, after being 16-2, leading them to the college football playoff last year, he's out as starting quarterback, and guess what?
He's moving, right?
He's transferring. He gone. Yeah. He said he's
Where's
done.
Where's he going?
He doesn't know yet. He hadn't announced, but he said he'll have – because he's only played 4 games this year, and so he's able to redshirt and have a year of eligibility left. And he said, I waited my turn. I did everything I was supposed to do. I did nothing to get get that starting job taken away from me. It feels like a slap in the face. I'm out.
What does he mean he did nothing? He got outperformed.
Exactly. That's what he's not getting. He's saying he didn't do anything to lose the job. My thing is, you did nothing to keep the job.
Wow.
That is what you need to be looking at. You were fine, but he was better.
Better.
His stats were better. He threw for more touchdowns. He led the offense, a more dynamic offense. He made the offense more explosive, sort of like Tua down at Alabama. Jalen Hurts was like 26-2 as a starter. Great. But you're more dynamic with Tua at quarterback. So that means two quarterbacks that led their team to the Final Four of football, the college football playoff last year. Jalen Hurts, Kelly Bryant, both going to transfer, both benched for underclassmen that can throw the ball. So listen, you high school quarterbacks, if all you can do is run it, you better start throwing it because you ain't going to last.
Yeah, you need to know how to throw the ball.
Yeah.
This story reminded me straight up, Jalen Hurts. Has he announced that he's transferring already too?
He said he will. He hasn't announced, but he's going to transfer because... He's only played 4 games this season, which It means he can transfer.
Right.
And he's not going to play next year because Tua's there, so he's not staying at Alabama.
What do you mean he can transfer? When's the cutoff?
Four games.
Four games, okay.
Yeah, if you play, you can only play in four games the entire season, and you get to still redshirt. If you play more than four games, then you're out. That's why I'm going to give Dabo Swinney credit. He could have kept Kelly Bryant there, let him play a couple more games, and that way he couldn't redshirt. That way you have a good backup quarterback with experience just in case your new starter gets hurt.
But instead, giving this kid a chance to go prove himself again with another team.
Yes, he's saying, you know what? I respect you enough. You did what you did for this program, what we asked you, and I'm going to be man enough as a coach to tell you, you're out after four games. That way you still have eligibility left, and you can go continue your career somewhere else if you want to.
For Dabo Swinney, the head coach of Clemson, if this freshman kid gets hurt, who's his backup? Is that a big risk?
That's a big risk. It's a big risk. Huge risk.
You really think he's doing it from the bottom of his heart?
I really do. Or else he wouldn't do it. He could be a jerk and not tell the kid and keep him the starter for one more game. All he has to do is start one more game, play one play in the next game, and he can't redshirt. But that tells me from the bottom of his heart, he cares about the kid and says, hey, over the goodness of this team, I'm going to let you go.
So he could leave and then play for another team next week?
Next year.
Next year. He's got to wait the year out.
Yeah, he's got to wait the year out. He's not going to just transfer midseason.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man, that's crazy.
But don't you think that tells me he's doing what's right for the kid?
I see that. I've never seen it in that angle before.
And that's why I gave Nick Saban credit when he announced that Tua was going to be the starter finally and said, that way Jalen Hurts can go somewhere else and not waste another year of eligibility.
That makes sense to me now, because when you said it, I had no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, and I wish more kids. I don't understand kids that don't transfer. Like, I know you're supposed to, fight it out, try to win the starting position. But after a year of you not playing and you not starting and all you're just going to sit the bench your whole career?
Yeah.
Transfer, but maybe people want to play at Alabama or Clemson, ride the bench instead of going to East Carolina and playing.
Okay, but sometimes that's where the good players go, and that's where they can show their ability, and then people see them, and they next thing you know, they get picked up by the NFL.
But that's what I'm saying. If they're on the bench, they ain't showing nothing.
Right.
So why not transfer to East Carolina or Troy or...
Ooh, I'm with you. The name has no idea. The university you're with, whatever. If you're a starting quarterback for Alabama, cool. That's awesome.
Right, but if you're the third string quarterback for Alabama, why don't you transfer?
Go to a small school.
Go to Division II.
Be the big fish in the little pond.
But maybe they want to just be on scholarship at a big school and they don't really want to go play football. Maybe they don't plan on going to the NFL.
Yeah.
So they're okay with just going to practice, not playing in the games, and being part of the environment. Totally cool. Sort of like I'm a big Kansas basketball fan, or Duke, or one of these blue bloods, Kentucky. Some of these players on the end of the bench, I feel like they could go to a smaller school and play, but they just want to be at the big school because they know basketball is not their future.
Mm. But it could be their future if they went to a smaller school and shined.
No, but they think it's not. They don't believe
it. Not in their mind.
Right, not in their mind. They know that they're limited. And so they just stay. But yeah, so props to Dabo Swinney for letting Kelly Bryant know, hey, you're not the starter. Move on with your life. Let's go somewhere else.
That's crazy, man. And this other kid, the long-haired blonde kid, he's a
Sunshine,
freshman.
Yeah.
That's his name, Sunshine?
No. Sunshine is from Remember the Titans.
Oh.
We went over this yesterday.
That's right. No, it was 2 days ago, was it?
No, it was yesterday.
Was it?
Yeah, I remember you were going to watch Remember the Titans.
It's been a long week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did say that. I will watch it
yes.
for sure.
Hey, Sunshine.
And somebody helped me out. That movie that I was thinking about, the other movie about racism, it was called The Express.
Yeah, about Jim Brown.
Jim Brown and who else?
I don't know. I saw the tweet, but I don't remember.
Yeah, that's a good movie. That's the one I was thinking about.
And did you see LeBron James yesterday?
No, I didn't see
it. Media Day, Lakers, NBA's back in full swing. And he said, listen, we are nowhere near the Warriors.
Well, yeah.
Why? Oh, no.
What do you mean?
He's just saying that.
No, he's not.
He is.
No.
So you think he really deep down believes that the Lakers aren't as good as the Warriors?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, I think he does. Because the Warriors are great. The Warriors are solid. They're a solid team. They've been a solid team. These guys are all, they don't know each other. I mean, they're figuring it out. I think he sees something. It's kind of like like what I was saying about the New York Giants, like new head coach, you know, like a bunch of changes in the offense. Like they got to learn each other. They got to figure each other out. I think he's being honest and saying we got a lot of work to do. Maybe he's trying to throw the rest of his teammates under the bus and try to send the message, hey, publicly, I'm going to tell everyone that you're not where you need to be.
That is exactly what I think he's doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he would not sign there if he doesn't think they can compete with the Warriors.
I get that. Yeah,
that's his only goal, is to compete with the Warriors and win NBA titles, and he is not going there unless he can compete with the Warriors. So publicly, he's not going to go out there and praise these young guys and let them get a big head and say, "Hey, we're there." No, he is publicly going to say, "Hey, we're nowhere near them," but behind closed door, he's telling them, "Hey, guys, we are right there.
We got this.
We are good enough to beat the Warriors. If you will put the work in, we can beat the Warriors. If we come to play every night, every day, practice, 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 we can beat the Warriors." Publicly, oh man, we have no chance against the Warriors. They're just so good. They're a dynasty. LeBron James doesn't believe that for a second.
I'm so glad you're bringing that up. Like, we as viewers are always falling for what everyone says in the press. Guys, the reason they talk to the press is because they're sending a message. It may not be the honest message. It may not be the truth.
No,
sometimes
it
is the truth. But I'm telling you, you cannot believe everything you hear. There's always an agenda, some kind of message that these guys are trying to tell you. And that's why they're doing it publicly. And the only thing that we can know and speak for is what we've heard them say. We don't know what's really happening. So, Coach, I'm glad you brought that up, because every time they speak on a microphone and they know that we're listening, they're telling us whatever they want to feed us.
Right.
You're right, Coach. But do you think, another angle, do you think that LeBron is also sending a message to Golden State?
No.
And saying, you got us. You got us. So just chill whenever you play us. Don't worry. Don't work too hard. You got us.
No. No. What are you talking about?
You don't think he's sending a message to them saying, hey, you don't have to work too hard with us. We're not even there yet. Trust me, we're not even going to be a contender this year. Just chill.
No, he's not saying that at all.
Oh, okay.
That has nothing. He's not trying to talk to the Warriors.
Oh, okay.
He is talking to his team. If he's trying to talk to the Warriors, he'll say something directly to the Warriors.
What would he say? Like what?
Hey, we're coming for you.
Yeah, but he's trying to do the reverse jinx. He's trying to do the
reverse psychology.
The reverse psychology.
No, I do wish though, in press conferences leading up to games, people would be more honest.
No, they're not. They'll never be. Never. Never, 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 never. That's what the media is for.
I understand that, but I would wish that this would happen. Sort of like when these big college football teams or college basketball or whatever, they're playing the podunk team from, you know, Middle Tennessee Community College versus Alabama or versus, you know,
why are you picking
Stanford. What? Middle Tennessee Community College?
Yeah, Community College.
Well,
they've played Stanford before?
That's not even a real school.
Oh.
Like, the coach always goes, yeah, we got to go look at film. You know, they're really dynamic on offense. Like, stop it. Just stop it. Just say, hey, man.
Okay. You're the head coach for Stanford, and you're playing Middle Tennessee Community College. How would you want the coach to speak? Ready? So, coach, what have you guys been over here? Sorry, coach. Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, Garcia.
Yeah, Sports Illustrated. Coach, what have you been doing to prepare for Middle Tennessee State Community College?
Really nothing, man. We figure we can just show up and beat them. We're really on looking at next week when we play USC at the Coliseum. So we're just going to be very vanilla this week. We figuring we can go in there. Our athletes are better than theirs. They have no chance. We needed a cupcake before USC, and that's what they are. And so we're going to come. They're going to get paid a good handsome amount to come get their brains beat in by us. And then we'll move on to USC.
Coach, over here, Boston Globe.
Yeah, Bob Ryan.
Coach, quick question about the big game this weekend. What are you predicting the final score could be?
Oh, big game. You guys consider this a big game. We consider this just a scrimmage because it'll probably be 58-7. I mean, we may give up a touchdown if they get lucky. I don't know how. I don't see them scoring, but fluke things happen in college football, so they could get 7 on us.
Coach, New York Times Sports.
Yeah, Mike Lubica.
Yeah, Mike here. Coach, is there anything special that you've told your kids about the big game this weekend? What kind of messages have you been sending to the kids about the game?
Oh, I told them, listen, guys, this is like playing a middle school. Like, they're not very good. It's like beating up on your 5-year-old brother when you're 18, 19 years old. You don't have anything to worry about. As long as you show up and you put your helmet on and you put one step one foot in front of the other, yeah. you're going to beat this Middle Tennessee Community College. They got nothing.
One step at a time?
Yeah, we just got to worry about USC.
All right, thank you. There we go. No more questions. No more questions. Thank you guys.
See you out on the field Saturday.
Yeah.
Go Cardinal. That's what I want it to be like.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. That'd be great.
It would be so much better and so much more entertaining. It's all a bunch of blah, blah, blah. Oh, it's tough. You got to come to play every week. I understand upsets happen, but Middle Tennessee Community College does not beat Stanford if Stanford just shows up.
I guess they have to be PC, huh?
They have to just please everyone?
They
have to.
All the boosters, you know? They don't want to look bad in front of the boosters.
Well, no. I think there's some boosters that want them to be a little cocky.
Really?
I want them to have swagger. Like, yeah, dude, they got no chance. We're going to beat them by 50. What up? That would be awesome.
Yeah. No, I agree.
Press conferences would be so much more fun.
That'd be great to watch, too. And then ESPN would be fun to watch that kind of stuff. Because anytime some coach says something dumb, it makes the headline. They play it over and over. But those headlines would be better.
Yes. So much better. They don't believe they're really going to lose. So just say it. But that's me. And then we've been getting a tweet from someone. And I said we would address it on the show. They tweet us every day. What age is okay to allow a son to play contact football?
Oof.
At what age would you let your son play tackle football?
Okay. All right, let me break.
Because I think her son is like 5 and wants to play tackle football.
So I played peewee, you know, and I was probably...
And you were a 3-star recruit in high school.
Correct. I started playing tackle football when I was in 5th grade. So how old was I then?
I don't know.
I was 10. So 10 years old is when I played.
Hold on. My dad's calling.
Put him on speaker.
Hello?
Talking to
what
up right now.
Not much. What are you doing?
We're just doing the podcast. Say hello to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
You got any hot sports takes that you want to give us right now?
Cardinals are sucking.
No, the Cardinals are sucking and the Cubs are sucking. The Brewers are now a half game out of first place in the NL Central. I need the Cardinals to step it up.
Well, I've been waiting for them for a week now, so I thought we would pass the Brewers, but it doesn't look like it.
Brewers are hot. The Brewers are my pick to
are
go
you
to
really
the.
Really on the air?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Brewers are my pick to go to the World Series out of the NL. They are just hot. Oh. But,
by the way, did you see the comments I put on your Facebook last night?
No, I haven't got on Facebook yet today. What was it good?
Well, I listened to some of the older shows.
Yeah.
When you're talking about the important coaches.
Okay.
I said baseball, it's the strength and conditioning coach that's important.
Oh, yeah, because it keeps him healthy.
Sort of an inside joke.
Yeah, because my cousin was a strength and conditioning coach. He made it all the way to the AAA with the Angels.
Yeah, Andrew.
Yeah, then he quit. Moved back home. He, you know, got a girlfriend and women ruin everything, and he gave
that's
up his career.
That's why he quit?
Yeah.
That's it.
That's why he quit. Like, he quit because he was like, man, never felt this way about a chick before, so I'm going to give it on up and move
goodness.
On home. And that's what he did.
He had the life, too. He was, like, helping Mike Trout stretch and everything.
Yeah, he got to rub his groin and rub his buttocks. And, yeah, I got to fly in that team plane.
Why would you rather have a girl than do that?
I look forward to every day.
Yep. Yeah. That's it. So
Toolbox.
Now he has to do mine.
Toolbox, I got a question for you.
Eddie has a question for you. Go ahead, Eddie.
Hey, Toolbox. Right. Toolbox, anything that I've said on the Sore Losers podcast that makes you a little frustrated with me?
Not as much as it's in the beginning.
Okay. So you think I'm getting better?
Well, yeah, you couldn't get much worse.
All right.
Love it.
When you were bringing up your wife talking to your quarterback, I'm like, goodness gracious. These guys are playing sports.
Yeah.
They've talked trash their whole life.
I guess that's the analogy was pretty bad.
All right, well, I'll call you when I'm done with this.
All right,
bye.
Bye.
There he is, old Toolbox.
That's my dad. He's a big St. Louis Cardinals fan, and he has been frustrated the past week because they've been in a slump.
Coach, you should have asked him about the contact football. still thinking about it.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
I'm still thinking about it. Coach, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's a scary. Football is scary now. You're going to call him back?
Yeah, I'll call him back, but go ahead.
Football's scary, you know? I mean.
But what message does it send to your kids that you watch it every week, but you would tell them, sorry, you can't play? I don't think I could do that. If my son, who is now 10 weeks old, came to me when he's 5 and said, hey, I want to play football, I would have to say yes.
No, because, for sure. I mean, I would not tell my kid no if he really wanted to.
I watch it every week, so I would be such a hypocrite.
No,
if I, yes.
Watching something and saying no, you can't play it.
Oh yeah, son, I love this, but you can't play it.
Well, that's like boxing. You want your kid to be a boxer too?
If he wants to.
Right, well, I get that. If he wants to.
If he asked me to.
But there's no hypocrisy in letting him watch it and saying you can't play it.
I disagree with you on that.
I disagree with you on that.
Because if you're gonna watch it, it's okay to play it.
That's terrible.
No, that's it. Okay, we got a question for you. We got a tweet from one of our listeners, and they want to know, at what age is it okay for her son to play contact football? You had 2 boys. You played football growing up. What age would you say is an appropriate age for kids to play tackle football?
I mean, it's probably changed. Is it organized?
Yeah, it's organized. It's like a league.
Kids, and that's probably what I would, you know, if they're younger than middle school.
Yeah, you think it's once middle school hits, you can play tackle, but before that, you would go flag football.
I mean, my kid would really have to love it, but I mean, we played in the side yard all the time, so.
Well, right. So did we growing up. We played in the ditch, but we didn't play organized. She was asking what age she should let her son sign up for football, because I think he's 5 and he wants to play football.
No, I mean, if it's flag football or something like that, that's fine, but I wouldn't be putting helmets on. I don't even know what they do at that age.
Right, I have no idea.
My God.
Why, you think it's just
that'd be scary.
Just dangerous?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we know more now than we knew back when I was growing up. I think that's what's partly wrong with me.
Oh,
yeah, you got too many hits to the head?
Do you think you had a lot of concussions playing football?
Oh, I know I saw stars a few times.
Yeah.
And you just thought.
No doubt about it.
And you thought
I
you just
know
got.
What it was then.
Yeah.
Toolbox, when did you start playing?
Well, in Illinois, they didn't really have it in middle school. The Catholic. Private schools did, and we knew a pretty cool priest, so he let us play, even though we weren't Catholic, didn't go to the Catholic school. So it was junior high. They call it junior high there, not middle school.
Right, right.
That's really funny. We know this really cool priest.
He let us play.
Oh, nothing like breaking the rules. Well, we're going to have to go back and take away that state championship.
Well, let's put it this way. After a few years later, he left the priesthood, got married to a nun, so he was pretty cool.
All right.
Couldn't help himself.
That's funny. All right, I'll call you later.
All right.
All right, bye.
Okay, so, yeah, I'm with him, too. I mean, like, I guess I started playing at 10, but I don't really remember getting hit really hard when I was 10. I feel like it's kind of like people your size hitting you. It's just not – it doesn't – it's not
right, but there has to be at least one kid usually that's bigger than everybody
sure,
and dominates.
Sure, I just don't remember getting smacked that hard when I was 10. Junior high, middle school, now I remember getting hit and it hurting. And like that was a big – people were different sizes in middle school.
For sure.
Because you're going through puberty and all that. So, yeah, I remember that. Dude, this isn't a topic of would you let your kids play, because that's a whole different thing.
So you say flag football early.
I like flag football early.
They do have a lot of flag football leagues. But there's a park by my house, and I walk the dog and my kid, around there with the wife. And, man, they got those youngsters out there playing tackle football. And, I mean they don't look like they're hitting very hard because they can't really move very fast.
That's kind of
like,
my point.
It looks like the equipment is too big for too big. So they're kind of just like waddling and they fall over.
They're worried about keeping their head straight with their
helmet
on.
And they look like bobbleheads.
Yes.
Yes. And so
I think young peewee football, like, have you ever watched Friday Night Tykes?
Yeah, I used to watch it.
Okay, see, so that's over the top. You know, like they're teaching their kids to, like, you know, hit certain ways and like play really, really competitive. I don't like that. I like getting your kid in some pads, you know, getting them to feel what it's like. So I would say, you know, Pee Wee 10 is fine because they're not really going to get hurt at 10. Although my friend Isaiah, his son broke his arm playing tackle football.
How old?
And he is 9.
So, yes, you can still get hurt at any age playing tackle football, no matter what age you are.
But broken arm at 9 is okay. I feel right. Like that's kind of part of
like when you're 8 years old, if you're playing tackle football, you can get seriously injured because you can fall wrong. Someone can hit you wrong. No matter what, you could hit someone wrong. But
what about concussions, though? Because that's what we're really worried about, right?
Yes. I don't think an 8-year-old would know what a concussion is. I don't know they know how to diagnose it. Like, oh, Mom, my head hurts. It would just be like, I have a headache. I don't know. They obviously get concussions when they're that young because if you're knocking heads, boom, boom, boom. At 8 years old, your brain is not developed. I don't even know if your skull is fully developed. But it seems to me they would get concussions.
Yeah.
So
what's your take?
I guess middle school. I mean, my dad has been through it. He played football. I never played football, so I don't know. But I'll go with my dad's opinion and say middle school. But sign him up for flag football. And
I like what he's saying about that. Like, we know more things now than we ever have about those kind of injuries and their long-term effects. The fact that there is flag football, that's cool. They get to learn the techniques of football. They get to learn plays. They get to learn how to, you know, be whatever position they're going to be in the future. Like, it's same thing. They don't have to hit each other. But you know, there is an art to hitting and playing defense and tackling that if, say, someone wants to be a defensive end, you know, in the future, and they want to get started early, they might have to play tackle football early. You know what I mean?
But you don't really need to. If you're going to be an NFL talent,
Born that way?
Well, I would say you're born that way, and you can tell from an early age. Like, Rico Gathers is a tight end for the Cowboys. He last played football in middle school, okay?
That's crazy.
And he's in the NFL.
Yeah.
So that it tells you that he is just a superior athlete. You're going to know at a young age, 99% of the people, at a young age, you're going to know who can be a professional athlete. There's going to be that 1% that just gets better as they age. Like, there was a kid that I went to high school with. He's a year younger than me, Justin Ruggiano. He made it to Major League Baseball, and he played 7-8 years in the pros. He was never the best player in high school. He just kept getting better and better and better and working and working and working, and then ended up going to community or, you know, junior college. Then he went to A&M, got drafted late by the Dodgers, and then just worked his way up through the minor leagues. So there's exceptions to the rule.
Yeah.
But for the most part, Adrian Peterson, he didn't need to start playing football at 5 years old. He could have started in high school and he would be in the NFL.
He's got it.
Yeah. You can tell he has it.
Sure.
Todd Gurley.
But not everyone's that lucky. Everyone has that gift. So they've got to learn.
But, right, that's what I'm saying. 99% of them are not going to, only 1% are going to learn and make it.
Right.
99% are just gifted athletes.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, I was thinking the other way around. 1% are gifted athletes. No. The rest have to work hard to get there.
No. I mean, the gifted athletes still have to work hard. It takes a lot of work to become a professional athlete.
Yeah.
But you know at a young age that you are good enough to be pro. Like, I grew up with no one that was good enough to be pro.
Right. I think a lot of us grew up with people that weren't good enough to be pro.
That's what I mean. When I, for example,
like, even our best quarterback in high school, no chance of being pro.
Malcolm Brown is a backup running back for the Los Angeles Rams. I went to one of his high school games. I saw him. My friend's brother was on his high school team. I watched him, and after a half, I told my buddy Cruz, I said,
he's going to the pros.
I said, he has a legit shot at going to the NFL. And he went to the University of Texas, didn't even do that well at the University of Texas. Like, their offense was bad. It was a bad season, bad 4 years, but he still made the NFL because you could tell on that football field that he was just above everybody. His team went on to win the state title. That's how good they were. And just, he was still head and shoulders above everybody on that field. So you know.
You got to have that ability.
You have to have the ability.
And then after that, it's opportunities. You know, like, did he have the right opportunity? Was he able to start? Was he able to show his potential? Going to the University of Texas is a lot of talent. You know, you talk about going to a smaller school and to showcase your talent and stand out. You know, things like that. There's all sorts of things that could happen.
If you have the talent, They'll find you.
All right. Hey, Coach, you wanted to wrap up with something. You wanted to talk about the court roughing the passer?
Yeah, everybody's complaining.
Are you frustrated with this?
Yes and no. I call it the Aaron Rodgers rule. They did this because Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone because someone fell on top of him. But my whole thing is when you're going to sack them and you hit them, like mid-tackle, you're supposed to just roll off and
You can't control momentum.
Like that is so hard. It is making it so hard for the defense.
Yep.
Like I understand you want to protect the quarterback, but they're football players. When you tackle a wide receiver, you're allowed to fall on top of them.
That's right.
Like the Dolphins defensive lineman tore his ACL this past weekend trying to not land on Derek Carr. He got a sack and he tried to spin off before he landed on him. His foot got caught in the grass and ripped his ACL.
Not cool. Trying to be a good guy, follow the rules.
Yes, because he doesn't want to get a 15-yard penalty. It is going over the line, mm-hmm. Yes.
What is it, though, the verbiage or just the rule in general? Because what does it say? You cannot put all of your weight on a quarterback?
Right.
Like, what does that mean?
That's the problem. They're throwing flag after flag. Man, they're just getting hit.
Yeah, most of these hits that I've been watching, they look clean to me.
Right, and some of these quarterbacks are saying, man, this is getting ridiculous. Even the quarterbacks are saying that.
Yeah.
It's just so hard because that means you get there, you get to stop, and it's like two-hand touch. Like you touch the quarterback, it's over. Don't follow through and hit him. It happens because you leave your feet, you're diving at the quarterback, you're going to land on him.
Sure. Now, doing it on purpose and then using your hands to push up off of him, like that's, well, yes, I've seen that, like, and that's, I get it.
Driving him into the ground, I get it.
Picking him up, throwing him to the ground,
yes.
Got it.
Give him that little extra,
But you're so right, dude. This is football. They are football players. They're no one special on the team. They are the quarterback, I get it, but they're also football players, and the whole point of that defensive line is to tackle them and to sack them. That's their point.
You know what the girls say?
Sack that quarterback.
I don't know. I think that's what cheerleaders do.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, what are they going to do with that cheer? Get rid of it?
No. Pat, that quarterback. Pat, that quarterback.
Lay a pillow on the ground, then lay the quarterback on the pillow.
Okay, you're talking about that viral video.
Yeah, I am.
Do you like that?
No. I get frustrated that stupid videos like that go viral.
Yeah.
And then I get frustrated. Why didn't we think of that?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Well, we need to tweet the video, Sore Loser Show on Twitter, so you can see the video. It's because Clay Matthews, who plays for the Packers, has been getting flagged every game for roughing the passer. So someone's in a Clay Matthews jersey, and they have...
Oh, my goodness.
They run out, and they tackle this girl, and they pick her up, and they put a pillow under her head and put flowers and everything to make sure it's a soft hit.
Yes, lay him down softly on the
grass. Pat, that quarterback. Pat, that quarterback.
So dumb. Do they change the rule?
They're going to change the rule.
They have to.
Or their verbiage or whatever they're going to do. They're going to make it. They're going to change it.
They have to.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
All right. Football's back tomorrow, so we will be back tomorrow, and we will have a heavy football show. Anything else you want to say? Oh, Survivor tonight, David versus Goliath. I love Survivor. Eddie, give it a shot.
This is a sports show, dude. We're not talking reality TV.
No, people love it. People love Survivor.
I don't think it's right that you're talking about reality TV on a sports show.
Yes, you can. Survivor is what it's all about.
Survivor season what? What are we, 80? 80?
Not 80, but David versus Goliath.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, jocks and big... Big jocks and
jocks
big...
Jocks and big...
Big dudes what? And ripped up like Hercules.
Versus?
Little nerdy guys like, hey guys, I'm a computer IT.
You love that crap, don't you?
I love Survivor. Because it's not all about... It's not just a reality show. It's strategy.
Yeah.
It's deceit. It's backstabbing.
Why do you like that, though?
That's bad human.
Bad living.
It's a game.
Yeah. How much do they win at the end of the game?
$1 million.
So it's okay to backstab someone?
In the game, yes. It's a game. It's strategy.
Is it even real, though?
It is real.
Are you sure?
Yes, because Survivor Greg, he was on the first season. He works with my sister-in-law. He won the first immunity challenge ever.
Really?
Yep. Survivor Greg. Look him up.
Where does he work now?
He works in Austin, Texas.
What does he do? You probably can't say.
Well, they work
Give the guy some privacy, right? Are they famous, though? Is he still famous?
No, he's not still famous.
People forget about him?
Yeah. But there's some certain players that I bet you are still famous that if they walk down the street, like Rupert, he was...
Don't know who that is.
Exactly. But there's a few fan favorites. Russell Hantz, he was dominant for like three seasons in a row, and he never won, which is the most ridiculous thing ever. Because here's the problem at the end, is when you have the bitter jury syndrome. Because at the end, the people you voted out, they turn around and vote for the winner.
Hmm.
So some of them get mad because you lied to them, and they won't vote for you, even though that you played the better game, because it's outwit, outlast, outplay.
Backstab.
Right. So you got outwitted, and you're bitter about it, so you don't vote for him.
So you lose if you're a trusting person.
Not necessarily. Some trusting people win.
Hmm.
It's awesome. Like Russell Hantz, he would tell people, vote for me or I'm going to vote you out next time. And they wouldn't vote with him.
Damn.
And he would vote him out, and they were like, yeah, right. Next time, gone.
That's like some Pablo Escobar stuff. Dude, without the killing.
He was. He was like Pablo Escobar. He told them, listen, get in line or pay the price.
Whoa.
And guess what?
They paid the price.
See ya.
Dang. Hey, Coach, you know what I'm watching right now?
What?
Dancing with the Stars.
Okay.
Because Bobby Bones is on it, dude.
I understand that.
Are you not watching it?
No, I watched it.
Like I was talking about this to you yesterday off air. I kind of enjoy it.
It's terrible.
I've never, ever in my life watched Dancing with the Stars.
Okay.
But since our boss, Bobby Bones, is on there competing, I've been watching. And it's, dude, I like it. My kids like it. My wife likes it.
Your kids will like Survivor.
Would they?
Absolutely.
But do they curse and stuff?
No,
they...
no, it's on network TV.
They can still curse.
It's on CBS. They ain't cursing.
Oh. No, they're still cursing on at after 8 o'clock.
Well, it's not on it. It's on at 7, so okay. Boom, take that.
All right.
Anything else you want to say?
No.
Sore Loser Show on Twitter. Yeah. There you go. Hopefully we answered all your questions about tackle football.
Do you have a poll coming up on Twitter today? Anything you want to put up?
No, I don't think...
You don't want to do the would you rather?
No, I think I'll... I don't
be
think
an alcoholic
so.
Or a drug addict?
Maybe that was a bad one.
It was pretty bad. It's pretty bad. I'm going to go with
none of the above. I'll just put
a,
what age would you let your kids play tackle football, and then people can respond. There will be no poll because I don't know the right, you know, I don't want to just limit the options.
But I do like how you do the polls where you're like, no, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, or yes, I want to do it.
Well, yeah.
I like it. I like the way you write your polls.
Maybe I'll try to come up with a poll, just a random one, and then we can talk about it tomorrow.
All right, dude. That's it.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the Sore Losers Podcast. Don't forget to rate us and subscribe.
Yeah, hit us up on iTunes. Download it. Subscribe. Anywhere you hear podcasts, but I just thought of iTunes for right now. But iHeartRadio, everywhere.
All of them. All right. Thanks for listening. Here's your buzzer. I'm going to buzzer you out. And...